This is an Alliance podcast.
What's up, world?
I was good.
Not much. We have guests today, so that's super exciting.
Wait, before we do that, we gotta introduce who we are. Who are we? Well, normally I go.
Yes.
It's me, Sky, out here, the Southwest Atlanta vibber. Got a new tan, so I'm thriving. I'm doing my best in the Wild Wild West. Living with the beach decor. Y'all ready for some more? And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl Sills from VA all day, two up, two down. Hanging out in the PNW where fall came early, and so I'm a little angry about it. But out here chuckling with the guests. But we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspective on soccer or football and everything in between.
And delivering soul and seasoning. Wait, that will moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
We mean it.
It's so today, y'all snorted. Okay. So today, y'all, we out here. It's this part two of the crossover episode with Diaspora United. And we got Courtney and Audrey out here.
Hey.
I've been laughing in the background.
Oh, that makes it authentic. We really are cracking up.
My eyes out, I shed a tear.
This is why we don't do video. Because I make faces and it goes left. My fault.
Sky's tan. Self reaction.
I mean, she did get a tan.
I'm no longer like.
She did want to kill your joy. You did get a tan.
I do got a tan. I don't look like I got baby powder on me no more. Like it's a whole like.
No, you should call. You should. You're no more off wheat.
No more off wheat. I'm wheat.
Just wheat. Wheat.
But anyway, what we talk about this week on this here podcast? Oh, I guess it's me. Okay, so this week we're going to open the Shea Butter FC Library, which is where we talk about bad behavior. But now we need the sanctuary for the NWSL because they need sage. Then what else are we going to talk about?
Just calling all the deities to help this league. Then we're going to do a hopefully brief but special edition of Soccer School, introducing you to some new terms.
Oh, and then we're going to talk about, all-star festivities if we were to have the Shea Butter FC all-star game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as always, if you check out part one, we did our rants and raves, our heated and hype. And then we're going to bring you our hits and riffs of the week.
All right. So let's get it started. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All right. So let's get into the NWSL Sanctuary. We probably need like some music. You need some sage. You got to hit the goalpost. Do, do, whatever. Ding, ding, ding.
Gospel playlist in the background or something. Jeez.
Right, Hampton.
Oh my gosh. Jesus, me offense.
Yo, when the lightning bolt comes for you.
Oh my gosh. Hey.
Hey, but this week the NWSL was wilding. I mean, it was wild in any way.
Most weeks.
But, so was this yesterday?
Yeah.
Did this happen yesterday?
Yeah. Well, our time. Yes. Yesterday.
So when, Christy
late
Holly.
Late at night.
Late at night. Well, yeah, it was late night over here, too.
It was
too.
Late night.
Christy Holly got fired.
Well, tell the people who Christy Holly is.
Christy Holly was the coach for the Racing.
Yeah,
Louisville.
Don't validate Andres.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jorian said racing, fam.
That's hospitality.
The Rossing Louisville. He was the coach until yesterday, where he was released for cause.
For cause,
which is an important because he gone. Like gone. Like no, there's no severance. There's no benefits. You're gone.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, Sils? When one is
So yeah, it happened fairly abruptly. I know I've not so jokingly said I don't think he would survive the season. Not gonna lie, I was still pretty shocked when that story hit yesterday. And the wording, like you said, is very rare. As I follow a few lawyers on Twitter, it's very rare for an employer to say for cause or with cause, because you have to be able to back that up. So it essentially means, as the kids say, Louisville has receipts. So whatever the thing is that got him in trouble, and who knows, because Chrissy Hawley's history is checkered at best. Whatever it is that got him out the paint is bad, and he might see the inside of a courtroom for it, like, or settle, or whatever that looks like. We might never know to what extent the accusations against him are, but it doesn't sound great just from, like, the local reporting. And shout out to local news, always on it, between the Spirit, obviously, and now the Louisville team. And so we don't know the nature, but it seems to fall in line with, like, harassment policy. Speaking of that, once the league implemented a harassment policy, yes, you heard that right, a professional soccer league, top flight in the United States, just implemented a harassment policy, what, last year?
Yes.
I think it was officially 2021.
This is 2021, yeah, right? Is, okay. Yeah, I don't know what time it is anymore.
In their ninth year of existence, yes.
So they finally decided to do that. And ever since then, we have lost, what, three coaches at least? Two. So Burke, Holly. We don't know why Ben Steedy was let go. That, in hindsight, and seems GM. Very smooth. Yeah, and a GM.
Yes, you have no idea why.
Yeah, and we still don't know that one either. Yeah, and again, Chrissy Hawley had a checkered past in a way that he probably should not have been hired to coach a team in this league anymore, because he previously coached what was known as Sky Blue, which is now New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. And he was let go for similar, we're assuming, accusations. And so again, the culture of this league is to move people who've done wrong into other positions where they are clearly given the chance to do more wrong. And in general, I think that Louisville ownership has had some issues. They've had issues with their men's team as well in terms of, like, contract negotiations. They let go of a coach. They lost a player by their own, like, legal misdoing. Like, they didn't construct the contract well, and the player basically got to walk to Europe. So just, there are some questions of that brass to be asked as well. But I think overall my biggest concern is just, like, I hope the players are okay. I think body language wise, particularly in the past couple of weeks, you could probably see something coming. And there have been other reports and chattering, because the WOSO community in America is not actually that big. So people have known bits and pieces of things, I think, for a while. And it's rough because this is an expansion team. This is their first year in the league. They have talented players. They have a very lively and enthusiastic fan base, and everybody deserves better. But yeah, I'll let you all speak on it as well.
Well, I also have one clarification question. He was cited in that huge lawsuit about, like, fake visas and things like that.
Yeah, there's a whole federal federal case pending as well, about fraud, essentially having to do with giving fake visas to coaching candidates. While he was with Sky Blue, I believe. And he's the only NWSL coach implicated in that, correct? Or was it someone else as well? I can't recall.
I think there's other staff, but
There's other staff. And this is, so that federal case is completely separate from whatever got him fired yesterday. So
But it's just, like, another wrinkle in
his
Well, that was the thing, is, like, I heard on Twitter, some people were like, do you happen to know what it was? And I was like, you know, it could be a number of things, actually.
Like,
this dude has a couple things in his past. So, like, you mentioned local reporting. Eric Crawford, who writes for WDRB.com. I think given the for cause portion of it, and like Sills mentioned, the lawyer aspect of it, we might not get more than this anytime soon. But I saw, quote, two sources close to the team have told WDRB News that some players complained about a, quote, toxic environment they allege was fostered by the coach, as well as other potential improprieties. So that ain't good. And it's like, yeah. Not to make light of it, but who could have seen this coming, right?
Except everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the one thing that I have a question about, and I think if asked, the NWSL might answer this question, but I am curious with, you know, the other, like, letting people go or putting people on administrative leave. The NWSL has said it's, like, for, in relation to the league's anti-harassment policy. And so I personally haven't seen the league make a statement on this. And so I am curious if those two are related in this case.
That's a great question.
And this is why you need infrastructure. Jesus Christ. Yes. You need human resources, civil rights, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. You need training to not be problematic, to be emotionally intelligent, to not be toxic.
You need to have a standard vetting process of your coaching hires and your staffing hires.
You need
standard things. It's like basic things. Most
you need accountability, like in the form of like performance reviews. You need all of the things that could help mitigate these kind of things.
You probably also need to get rid of owners who hire their friends, but that's a
correct. Yeah, because every single one of these owners comes out and says, oh, we've done the vetting or through an exhaustive search. And it's like, you got to fire your coach a couple months into this first season. I'm not too sure you even did a Google. So
Right.
Because if you just Google the names of these coaches, all of their previous accusations levied against them before they got coaching jobs in this league are like the first thing that come up in the search. So
or like, advisors. Yeah.
Vetting would simply be Googling at this point. And so that didn't happen. Other search engine, sorry. I don't want to.
Yeah. So
shout out to Bing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, Bing. Oh wow.
It's all about the pictures, man.
DuckDuckGo for all the conspiracy theorists.
Oh no.
Oh, you're bringing out the dark web stuff right now.
Do you know SGs? Do you know about that, Courtney?
Yes, I do know about
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves, wow. That's a throwback.
Look, I was a media studies major in college. I had to learn about the history of the internet.
The fact that it's like painful. The history of the internet.
The fact that Ask Jeeves is in a history book right now, just I feel like quitting life.
Ouch. Ouch.
No. Okay. So to bring it back. All right. So let's see. So I guess the next topic is... So... So black players did a lot of great things this week. You know, the first black player of the great Angel City FC, Kristen Press. Then you got like the Crystal Dunn playing in the midfield for Portland Thorns. But like, let's keep it real. It's been a little low-key hating happening in the streets. And it's like, what are we doing, man? Because we got told that you can't build a team around Kristen Press.
Nonsense.
In an article.
That's rough.
And then we said that you could build one around Trinity Rodman. But, okay. But if you know who she looks up to, then this doesn't make sense. Wait. And then for Crystal, you got somebody not playing. She's playing the midfield and she don't got like a midfield support because somebody else is trying to be a nine or a winger who's supposed to be her partner in the midfield. And so she's getting blamed for losses, which is crazy, for a Thorns loss. When it's like Crystal was playing multiple positions. So how do we feel about these vibes these black players continuously get? Usually at for the uplifting of white players, that continues to happen. Like people aren't getting their flowers, people aren't getting their props. People aren't, you know, being seen, even for what Nichelle Prince did last week. Like, in the broadcast, it was hard to watch that game because there was mad complaining for the runs and stuff. But it's like, there's several other people who could be moving their behinds in the box. Like, what are we doing? But how do we do it?
those runs probably also would have gone better had they started Jasmine Spencer, but that's a conversation for a different day. You would have had the balance. We talked about this in the Olympics, right? So it's interesting, right? Because some of it's also like backhanded compliments. Like, I feel like they said something today about Sid LaRue, like, finally improving during the Oil Rain Houston broadcast. And I'm just like, I mean, she's added defense, but Sid LaRue's been pretty consistently Sid LaRue for most of her career.
Right.
She's money. She's also like tied for the Golden Boot race, which. Two of the three people who have 7 goals are Black players, right? Because it's, I'm pretty sure it's her, Anamanu, and Balser at this point. And I'm sure Lynn Williams will catch people at some point because she's Lynn Williams. But yeah, it's a lot of like reckoning, I feel, right? Where, the way we've seen the game our whole life, mostly because we've been coddled and mostly because access has been cut off to other people, probably is not the way. This game is actually going to go. And I think not this past weekend, but the weekend before, there was just so much Black excellence and it was just glaringly obvious what this is going to look like going forward. And so I think a lot of people are just having a reckoning with U.S. soccer changing, right? Both at a national team level and in a club level, right? And even like halfway through, I know a few weeks ago, NWSL Analytica did like the list about halfway through the season, I think particularly on the attacking and assist list, it was almost all Black and Brown players. Like it was very obvious. Like even the statistics are backing up the things that I know both of our podcasts have been saying for a very long time. So when it's in your face, I think people can either embrace it or they will swim the hardest before they drown. Right. So, but yeah, of course, I think those players are used to that type of disrespect. They've grown up playing soccer in America. They know how tilted it is. But also, what do you mean you can't build a team around Kristen Press? Have you tried? Like, what are you talking about?
You talk about an all-utility forward who can be... She was playing defensive mid at one point for Chicago. Lord Jesus. She could be a midfielder. She could be a forward. She can do it all.
You're down bad if Kristen Press is your defensive mid, but that's a whole different conversation. You know,
that better not happen. That better never happen.
That should not be an option.
In Los Angeles.
Every team should be built around Crystal Dunn. Like, I feel like if Crystal Dunn said tomorrow I was going back to Chelsea, Emma Hayes would be like, I love all of you, but I'm going to build around Crystal Dunn.
What do you want to be? What do you want to do, Crystal?
What do you want to do, ma'am? So, yeah, I think that's wild. I think those two get singled out a lot because they think of like the national team still the thing in this country, and they're the two Black players whose positions aren't really questioned at this point. And so one, they can talk a lot more, but two, without fear of losing their spot per se. But they're the most visible ones right now. But again, we know that's changing very quickly, like early next year probably. So yeah, I'm used to it, I guess. I don't know.
What do y'all think out here in these streets?
Well, I also think part of it is, and this, like, we know about this in general in life, of just Black and Brown people not being given the benefit of the doubt. Like, I feel like so many white players are just constantly given, like, oh, they're having a bad day or something like this or something like this. Or, like, even, for example, thinking about, like, Sid LaRue of, like, I mean, I feel like I never heard of, like, oh, well, you know, she's still like working her way back from having 2 pregnancies, like almost in succession, like just not like of just Black players not given the benefit of the doubt. And because, especially with Crystal Dunn and Kristen Press, of just them constantly, and I mean constantly, just performing at like almost an elevated level than other people on the national team. And constantly being given like no slack if they do have an off game, and because we are so used to them always just honestly on one, that when they don't perform at a spectacular level, people are like, oh, see, it's all their fault, when it's like, no, they've been saving you this entire time, you just didn't know it.
Right. And even their off night is still like an above average night for a lot of their teammates, if I'm being honest. So
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Like when I remember when Crystal Dunn didn't have a great performance, and then like, and still saved two goals by doing right. imperfect last ditch tackles. Like, are you joking?
And again, yeah. playing in her worst position.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Getting over inundated by like 5-4 people.
Right. Whatever. And Sweden literally was like, okay, we're going to swarm the best player on their team to try to make this work. And it was a good strategy, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that Sweden match, because I feel like that's like the microcosm, right? That like that's the whole thing right there, is that Sweden ran 2 and 3 players and got them to overlap on Dunn's side, because where was the midfield help? Not playing midfield. So who do people blame? Crystal Dunn, instead of the midfielder who wasn't playing as a midfielder. And it's like, that's the whole thing right there. So to me, it's just like, the answer is, that's why these two podcasts exist. That's why our podcast exists, to set people straight, to make sure people realize that, okay, no, actually, I have no idea. Well, we know why, but these players continue to get unnecessary, you know, burdens put on them by their coaches, but then also they get unnecessarily criticized when they, like Courtney said, routinely play above and beyond. And when you don't see them do the super, the incredible performance, the 12 out of 10 performance, it's like, ah, see, they got to be better. You tell me what other player on the national team can handle three overlapping Sweden players all match and really give up just about nothing. So like,
right.
Come on.
And also, they want to talk about what would have happened if that happened on the other side of the pitch.
Now listen.
Listen. If that happened with literally anyone else.
Blacko would have had to like throw some shoes on the field and call the timeout. Like, he would have to be like, fall on the floor.
I sincerely think Sweden was just like, we're not even gonna worry about it. Like, I don't think they cared about,
because you can get by her with one.
They knew that.
That's the thing. You can get by her with one, and that's where the goal came from. Like, you can get by her with one. You don't need three. You need three to get by Crystal, but you only need one to get by the other side, and nobody pays attention to that.
That very distinct moment in the World Cup where Marjorie just absolutely obliterates her, and I think that was the end. I really do. Like, she took her soul. She hasn't been the same since. I'm just being really honest with you. And it's so vividly like burned in my brain. But and Marjorie's a filthy person anyway.
I was thinking,
like,
if today's Marjorie would have did that to old girly today, would it even been even worse?
Oh yeah. Well, and now, and I've noticed both for club and country, she's also reverted back to thinking she's a striker, but that's a whole different conversation. Like, we don't take that shot. We don't do that.
As a spirit, somebody who covers a spirit, yes.
Oh yeah.
100% correct. There are many times where I'm like, why did you do this?
That hurt me. It was 2 decades ago. You guys stopped.
And it's not even taking shots. It's doing these very deep crosses. Why are you crossing from 40 yards away? Like, I don't understand. What do you expect's going to happen with that? So, like, yeah, there's a lot of weirdness going on with that, and I'm not a fan.
So, yeah, I think that is true, and I think maybe kicking and screaming. U.S. soccer is going to have to come to some real realizations. I think we could jump quickly into, I didn't read the whole, well, did I read the whole article?
Well, yeah, the Alex Morgan article about the Olympics. Her reflection on the Olympics.
I just read the quote. I love the quote.
She reflected, so Alex Morgan did an interview where she kind of reflected on this last Olympics and talked about how it wasn't the same because they were pretty isolated. They weren't interacting with other teams, other athletes. They weren't in the village because COVID, and then how soccer was set up. And so it was real different. You know, they had to fight not for a gold, but for a bronze. But then she talked about how now it's a shift to the World Cup, and she didn't think there was going to be a lot of turnover. And it was like, excuse me? Were we watching the same thing? Because, yeah, it's like, effectively, she's like, the most of the team, aside from basically Carly Lloyd and maybe Megan Rapinoe, would still be there. And it's like, in thinking that that would be okay to take it to the World Cup. When in reality, it's like, are we watching the same thing? Things have to change. So how do we feel, people, in terms of that little article?
Do you know who's coming behind you?
Literally breathing down your neck?
Like, right now. That yeah. play like you, but, like...
Better.
Like,
better?
Morgan Weaver's Alex Morgan, but she can play out wide. Like, at this point...
Yeah, that part. Yeah.
If she can figure out how to finish, that's you. Like, but, like, in a world where there's a Mitch, you clearly should have gone.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's a sore spot. It really is. They're going to have to do some groveling, but I think they'll get that right.
She might be called up this week. Sorry.
But the run, like Sophia Smith's been on, like that's clearly clicked. I mean, Trini Raman exists. Like sure just does. As an entity, like as a being, is just different. I don't think we've ever produced anyone quite like that as a soccer player in this country. Maybe like Dempsey-esque, but like she's more talented. Something like that. And I mean, there's others. There's like, we have true nines, right? Like you have a Valser. You have other people coming for like your exact position. You're not the best forward on your team, on your club team. And Sid's younger than Alex, by the way. Mm-hmm. I like to remind people of that.
Yo, so that point is also the age thing. For mm-hmm. some reason, that only comes up with certain players and not others. Then it's like, mm-hmm. Excuse me. There are quite a few other players who are quite a lot older than ones you're talking about. Ah, you can't build a team around her. She probably going to retire in a couple of years. It's like, nah, she's still falling. Some of these others are falling off and you can see it.
Right. Some people get better in their 30s. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
And honestly, one is retiring, right? Like forever, however I feel about Carly Lloyd, she clearly ascended late. And it was beneficial to the team at the time. It's a gift and a curse, obviously. But, I thought that was very, like, there are a lot of people still looking at this and, like, super unaware of, like, the shift that's clearly happened, both on the club level and the national team level, and, like, what it has to look like. I know I said a few weeks ago, like, do you want to win or do you want to be white? Because the world's caught up to that version of our national team, right? Whereas everything that's coming behind it, they have no clue.
Like, you can't be struggling to be Canada. You can't be struggling to be Canada in a World Cup qualifying situation.
No shade to Canada. They're super melanated.
Yeah, they're super melanated. Yeah. But you have the attackers. You have no business not beating the crap out of Canada. You have no business beating the crap out of Mexico. For the talent you have. So you can't sit here and take that. Like, you can't take that to the World Cup. You might not get out the group stages.
That'd be a catastrophe.
The thing I don't understand for me, like about Alex, and I guess it's that thing with most athletes where like it's difficult once it gets to the end of their career, you know, for them to actually realize that other teams, especially a national team, moves on. Like you can't just stay. Like you don't. Mm-hmm. It ain't tenured. Like you don't get a tenured position on that team. But it feels like a lot of them feel like they have it, and it's like. Y'all won the World Cup in 2019. That was 2 years ago. Y'all saw what happened in the Olympics. That game versus Australia was terrible. You barely got by the Netherlands. And you got, first of all, your first match was just getting destroyed by Sweden. Mm-hmm. So, like, you already see your competition is caught up to this version of the U.S. Women's National Team. It can easily handle them. Because all that Sweden match was, oh, we know what y'all gonna do. And we know how to attack you. And that's it. That's what they did. And so not only does the team need a refresh, the team needs to get different, kind of like different player profiles in there. And we have them.
Yes.
And that's the scary thing. We have them and the rest of the world doesn't really know it yet. And it seems like Alex Morgan don't know it yet either. But I hope they find out.
And I think it's really telling, right, in terms of, so one, the talent that's coming isn't just different and very good, like generationally. It's got... We talk about that American mentality. It's there. Like, Sophia Smith is chirpy. Like, that kid is going to be... That kid's an a-hole. Trini Raman's a jerk. Like, they are... And they're arrogant. And
y'all saw she made fun of Megan Klingenberg.
Oh, yes.
That's still one of my favorite things from the NWSL season. That still makes me laugh.
It was amazing. But, like, they have it. They have the swag that we talk about, right? And it bothers people and other people too, right? I know it's been controversial with like Megan Rapinoe and stuff like that. And that can play either way, right? people get mad at us that aren't American, some people that are. But like, that's coming. But two, when you talk to the talent coming, like the young talent, listen to who they looked up to. It's not a lot of people saying Alex Morgan, right? Like, and so I think that in itself is very interesting. They've chosen to model themselves after the people that U.S. soccer has at best put on the bench and like on the side burner. But those are the people both here and abroad, right? Like, it is international players and things like that. It's not the people that have been the face of the team. It's not the people that have sort of been, you know, coddled or like, oh, this is your fourth slump. It's okay. Like, and so I think that's very telling. And I get it. Those athletes have egos, and that's part of what's made them great, and that's part of what's kept them in the spotlight. But it's also like U.S. soccer's unwillingness to change, too. It's not just that you're good. It's that you've been, you know, buoyed. You've been propped up, oftentimes at, you know, the sacrifice of other possibly more talented players. So the reckoning's coming. Like, that's just what I'm going to keep saying. I'm going to keep beating that drum.
To your point, I interviewed Ashley Sanchez and Trinity Robin before the season, and they both said Kristen Press is the biggest influence on their games.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I feel like also part of it, too, is that for the longest time, and like, maybe I should have my older sister on the podcast once, because like the way she, for example, and like she's all these players' ages, like she, I think she just missed Alex Morgan in college, but I mean, she's like literally played with like so many of these national teamers. And it's so interesting because she always thinks of so many of them as like, they're just all like really incredible athletes. And like that is, and like, so to her, it's not even the mentality thing that really sets them apart. It's like literally just having like decades and decades of like actual like funding of like, hey, we're going to make you incredible athletes, which is why, you know, like, I don't think, I probably would not say that every player could be Kristen Press in terms of like almost hitting her peak, like beginning 30s. Like, I don't think many players are like that. But I feel like now for the first time that the world is catching up on like the things that, like even just basic things of like, hey, good nutrition, like, hey,
yeah,
like just all the basic things. And so U.S. soccer is going to have to reckon with like, oh, now we like actually just can't rely on like having one or two, like, let's say like spectacular superstars that can save us in games. Like, hey, we need like tactics and we need like game plan. And also, you know, the game that we played growing up does not look like the game now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to move. Otherwise you are just going to crash and burn.
Yeah. The game, and to Alex's credit, right? I'm sure I'll hear about this if she's listening. But like, the game changed while she was pregnant in many ways, right? Like, how we do nines in the world changed very quickly. And with rare exception, I think of maybe like a Hegerberg or something. But even like Sam Kerr plays out wide, right? Vivian Miedema plays out wide. Like, they're, the way she's been taught to play that position doesn't exist anymore, really.
Yeah, and it got exploited in the Olympics.
And she's, it's, yes. And at this point, her adapting is hard. Like, she doesn't play out wide. The game requires that now.
Or even basic things of like, okay, if you're going to play centrally, like, you need good hold-up play.
Right.
Which she had done for a while, but then it kind then of it,
like,
away.
It, for, I don't know why. I fundamentally don't know why it's stopped, but even, like, you know, thinking about other players who I think of, like, very traditional number nines, and it's like, okay, you either need that hold-up play or, like, hey, and this is, to be fair, not just Alex Morgan, but, like, hey, can you bend your runs more so you stay onside?
It's not her strong suit.
Like,
it's never been
fundamentals. Let's stop getting. And like, this is not just early. We saw ten. I think overall,
we had more offsides than goals.
Than actual like, goals, yeah.
Like offsides, goals scored from an offside position, goals scored from an onside position. But you know, the game has changed, and it's like y'all have to adapt. Yes. Otherwise, y'all won't be like people aren't afraid of y'all anymore.
No,
if you want to get that fear back, you know who you need to put. Someone who thrives off disrespecting people. You need to make like 11. I mean, I know, I think we all said like Roosevelt was probably the player who just enjoys most just embarrassing people on the soccer field. You need to have 11 people with that mentality.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, but that mentality is coming, right? Like these young players, I was going to say women, but that's not always the case.
I was actually going to say whippersnappers.
Wow, thanks. I'm not that old. Thank you. But like, they have that mentality where they're just like, I want to embarrass people. Like, I think of Trinity's goal against Alyssa Nair when she the better shot was to like lift it, and she took the extra touches just to put Alyssa on the ground. Like, that's what you need. Like, it's just, and she was like, her. I'm gonna, and met her on the way. And, like, just like, oh yeah. Yes.
And the like Sophia Smith against Leon.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Where she obliterated them and then stepped over one of the best defenders ever, right? It was just like light work. Light work. And I feel like Wendy Renard was like, you know what? I respect that.
Right? Yeah. Like, she was mad in the moment, but I feel like she knew. Like, okay. All right. Yeah. She's not afraid of me. Good.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I see young blood. Like, that kind of thing. Like, it's coming, but it looks a lot like us, right? So it's going to be really interesting. And I think instead of fearing losing the fan base you have, you should embrace the fact that you will get new, better, and I would argue more loyal fans.
Yes. Correct. And so, okay. So I think we've sanctioned, well, we've saved and incensed enough. But yes. Yeah, the black people are coming, y'all. The brown people are coming. The people are coming.
The Negroes are here.
The Negroes are here. Not the Negroes are here.
I'm going to hear about that. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And on that note, we're going to have a lot of new people in the building. So we got some. We need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to get into soccer school and the All-Star festivities and some hits and riffs. So we'll be back in a second.
Protagonist Podcast is more than just a single podcast. It's a family of podcasts dedicated to the lower leagues. We believe there's something special about the Division 3s and Division 4s of the world. The clubs that are fighting to survive. The clubs that play in front of a couple hundred people. The clubs that are playing for the love of the game. We believe in those clubs. That's why we cover them. Check out Protagonist Podcast wherever you download the shows that you listen to.
Do. It's time for the wonderful soccer school. Yes. And so, everybody, okay, so in soccer school, we talk about soccer rules, regulations, and all kinds of things. So what are we talking about this week?
We're going to introduce four vocabulary terms, I guess, that are soccer specific. These are things we might mention randomly during podcasts or that you will hear during a match. And so that you're familiar with what they are. We're going to jump into it. Shouldn't take too long. But I am going to let our guest, Courtney, are you cool? We're going to talk about the Cruyff turn because she is a fan of this great, great move. And if you want to give a quick history about it.
So to be fair, I don't really want, like, I know the history of the Cruyff turn, but I did not. So I grew up playing soccer. And so basically, like, probably once you hit, like, I'm going to say 8, 9, 10, once you get past, like, the fundamentals of, like, controlling the ball, you basically, like, a week or a few sessions, like, you learn about all of, like, the moves you can do. So you learn about, like, step overs, like, I don't think people call them scissors anymore. But you, like, learn about all these terms. So I learned about the Cruyff turn, which is basically, like, if you have the ball at your feet, you go and you, like, like, let's say I have the ball at my right foot, then you go and I turn my foot in and I like almost pass the ball through my own legs to turn around and like go the other direction or go a certain direction. Popularized and created by Johan Cruyff, who is a huge legendary soccer player, like played for Barcelona. If I'm remembering correctly, yeah. like right now Barcelona Femini like plays at Johan Cruyff Stadium.
Yeah.
Like Google who he is, but he created the Cruyff turn, and like for the longest time it was the best thing, and it was something that I can't remember who did it the first time, but I tweeted out, I was like, sick Cruyff turn, and so was like, yes, and I was like, what is going on? And you were like, no one ever talks about Cruyff turns, and I was like, Cruyff turns are fire. Yeah. They were always my favorite soccer move because I could just pull them out anywhere.
It's basically like kicking the ball back past your standing leg so you can pivot. And then it's a way to get past a defender, like particularly when they're standing you up 1v1. And Johan Cruyff is a person you should know in the history of soccer, like truly one of the best ever. I have a soft spot for Dutch soccer. I don't think it gets the love it deserves all the time, even though they have a lot of great legendary players come out of that country. So yeah, but Courtney and I both share a love of the Cruyff turn. So I was like, I'll let you do it.
Also like calling a Cruyff turn a Cruyff turn. They'd be like, oh, sick turn. It's like, no, like
it's a Cruyff turn. Specific thing. Yes, I agree. But it's one of those, like, I would YouTube it so you can see it, but also in a match, when you see it, now you'll know. You'll be like, oh, that's a Cruyff turn. It's a very distinct move. And it's very unique to the sport of soccer. The next is a term you've probably heard. It's called the nutmeg. Sky, you want to hit him with the nutmeg?
Oh, wow. Really? For real? Okay, so yeah, a nutmeg is basically when somebody purposely... I mean, it could be accidental. Nah, it's normally purposely. Somebody... tries to kick the ball between somebody's legs to pass or Trinity Rodman a goal. And so it's pretty disrespectful historically. I was going to say before we get to nutmeg though, for Cruyff turn, a good example is what Kristen Press did to Caitlin Ford in the Olympics in the bronze medal game.
She
did hit her with the turn and put on the ground. I thought Caitlin was going to push her. I would have pushed her. You know, disrespect me like that. But with the nutmeg, that's also a similar kind of violence.
It's a definite violence.
There's a really good clip of, like, maybe it was, like, late last year, that Jenny Hermosa, like, nutmeg three people on one play.
Yes, she did.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah,
it was super disrespectful.
She just waited for him, too. It was nasty.
She's like, dude. Yeah, it was like, I got you. It was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, or I often think about Roosevelt versus
Millie
Bright destroyed in the 1998 semifinal. Like, that happened minute three of the match.
Yeah, I was going to say that the nasty thing about this, how early it happened, Rose was like, I'm going to ruin your night.
Millie Bright ends up getting a red card in that game because I don't think she ever got over that.
She never
recovered. And the whole world was watching. Like, it was so brutal.
And she got disrespectfully nutmegged.
It really does something to my soul every time I see that clip.
So I used to be a defender, goalkeeper, and as a defender, you ain't gonna do that to me. I was gonna push you over.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna do none of that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Wait, go ahead.
You often find after a person gets nutmegged, they then try to, as y'all say, furniture move and just truck a player for disrespecting them by nutmegging them. During quarantine, when I lived with my older brother for a few months, we always had a soccer ball around and it was constantly trying to nutmeg each other. Like, truly, anytime you were in the room, it was trying to nutmeg someone.
That's hilarious.
Well, yeah, that's like, it's so disrespectful. Even as goalkeeper, like, you get nutmegged to a goal, you gotta just cut that on off. It's none of that. You ain't gonna do none of that. You gotta stop that foolishness.
All right. The next two are like scoring terms. You're not going to hear this one very often because people don't attempt it very often. I'll do this one. It's called the Rabona. The most recent example I can think of is Eric Lamella. Is it Eric Lamella?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that his first name? I never know Lamella's first name. Who played for Tottenham last year. Rabona is Rabona, but it is essentially a shot you take by crossing your shooting leg over the back of your standing leg, because it's usually the only way you're going to get the shot off. And it's usually
because you want to look cool as hell.
Well, that too. And it's usually done so that the player can, if they're cut off from their dominant leg, can still get the shot off with their dominant leg.
Kristen tried to do that in the qualifying game in the 40 Olympics against, like, you saw Tobin, Lindsay, and Rose like ascend. They were about to ascend because she did that crap to the goalkeeper, but it missed the goal by a little bit. And I think that was Costa Rica. It was Costa Rica. Oh. But yeah, I got to go find that.
Yeah. But Rabonas are rare because people, A, rarely attempt them, and B, rarely make them. And it's an incredibly effective shot because nobody expects you to try to make it. And he cracked that thing from distance too. Like, he was pretty close to the edge of the box when he hit it. And if you know anything about Eric Lamela, it was a full experience that game because he also got red carded, which is more likely what he's going to do in a match.
Look, it's a perfect North London derby.
Yeah, exactly. The North London derby is when Arsenal and Tottenham play each other. They're both in North London. But yeah, so that's a Rabona. And then Andre, would you like to explain the Panenka?
Yeah, Panenka. Panenka, P-A-N-E-N-K-A. The most disrespectful penalty you can take. Basically, you're chipping the goalkeeper. You know, the goalkeeper's job in a penalty situation is extremely difficult, obviously. You're facing somebody yards away, and they get a free shot at the goal. So normally, a player will try to get, you know, kind of either through body shape, through eyes, through whatever, try to pick out a corner or give some sort of deceit to the goalkeeper. The Panenka instead is doing that, and instead of just smashing the ball into a corner, you just chip it. You just chip it straight down the middle. Just let it float into the net while the goalkeeper's on the floor, and it's just real disrespectful, and I love it.
It is. Well, I don't know if Jorginho quite does a Panenka, but it's, I think he just
with
hops.
His jump, I don't think he could. Yeah,
that's just more annoying than anything
else. He Panenkas himself.
That's more to throw a keeper a certain way, so it's easy for him to, like, slot in a corner. But the interesting thing about Panenka, and I listened to, like, a whole different podcast episode about the history of the Panenka and, like, why it came, and the reason why it came about was, like, in, you know, huge, I think it was either the World Cup or the Euros, like, absolutely huge, massive soccer moment where it's like they're in penalties, it's like, you know, tied, I think it was like 4-4 or something like that, and Panenka decides, I know the keeper is going to go one, but hey, like, low-key, let me embarrass them, because if you pull off a Panenka, it is deeply embarrassing because the keeper is already you know, trying to do it, and then you just, like, literally float the ball just right down the middle. But the thing about Panenkas is that if you don't do it properly, it's deeply embarrassing for you.
Yes.
Extremely. There's a very high risk reward situation because if you don't, then the keeper just stands there and catches the ball like it was kicked by, like, a bag of feathers. It's like there's nothing to it. So it's hilarious. Yeah. And actually, if you're ever bored, Google failed Panenkas and watch those because it's very funny.
I might do that after we record, actually. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Deeply embarrassing. But I feel like Kepa is actually pretty good at spotting when someone's going to go down. I've seen him save
a bunch of
penalties, like, right, like, when they just try to go right down the middle. Because, I mean, when you know a keeper is going to go one side or the other, because, like, penalties. And so going right down the middle, like, tends to be the, you know, the easiest way to go. But yeah, Panenka's high risk, high reward.
We pay Kepa so much money to be good at penalty kicks, but okay, so much money. sorry, Chelsea Limit, very quickly. He is very good at this. But yeah, all the terms we gave you today are actually things people do to disrespect people in this sport. And the four of us are very big fans of those things. And any other way that people choose to disrespect people. We love the sauce here.
Absolutely.
At SBFC and on Diaspora United. So hopefully that gives you some context just in case you see those terms in a game. Do we quickly want to jump into the next segment?
Yeah, so that's perfect because let's say you had a whole disrespectful celebration of this. Wait. Celebration of disrespectful soccer in the form of an all-star game. That's another, we're going to go back into the SBFC all-star game where... What if we had all-star game festivities? So I went to the MLS All-Star Skills Challenge. What's good, Sarah? Thank you for taking me with you to the all-star experience. But anyway, so let's say we revised what the MLS did for their all-star challenge and we made it a legitimate Black experience of greatness. And so during that All-Star Challenge, they had like the scoring challenge where they basically set up the goal and they had these different targets for different point values. So if you hit a three, you get 3 points. Where people just take shots at the different plates and they like set off point totals if they got hit by the ball. They had a touch challenge where it's basically skeet ball, but people had to send serve balls into players and they kick them into this skeet ball like contraption for different points. But it had its flaws because people were off, then the touch was off. And so they were trying to aim for these little things and they were missing the different point totals in the process. The next thing was a cross and valley challenge where players had to be creative to vault to cross the ball in, but then volley it into the net. And so they got points depending on how, I think it's also based if the goalkeeper could stop them. And then how they were able to score. So did they bicycle kick, all this other stuff. And then for the passing challenge, they effectively did a passing course where they tried to pass the ball similar to like playing basketball skill challenges or football skill challenges, where they tried to pass the ball into different targets and they had these funky moving targets, but they were kind of weird because they were moving and like you're trying to kick a ball at a moving target that's kind of made for football and not American football, not for soccer. And then they had a crossbar challenge where the basically was you try to hit the crossbar with the ball at from different distances and that generated points. And for if you had different color balls, I think they changed the balls from orange to yellow, and then those had more value towards the end, the further they got away from the net. But anyway, with this description of what the MLS did, what would we think of having like different activities for a Shea Butter FC All-Star game situation? It could be Shea Butter FC and Diaspora United. It could be a real bleedy black experience. Of skills.
Bleedy black.
I mean, always. I mean, I think a lot of those sound cool. You know, I love some shooting, so I'm always here for shooting challenges. I like the crossbar challenge. The skee ball thing sounds like similar to horse, which is I would love to see like horse, but for soccer.
It should be nutmeg.
Could do nutmegs too. But yeah, I'm here for like, we've got some amazing shooters in this league and in Liga MX, which I would make that maybe the All-Star game since that's what it was for the men.
Yeah.
Or we could do a Club World Cup and have an All-Star game in the midst of that. Great.
I'd be really down for that.
Yeah, I think it's long past due to have like some kind of all-star event. And I think with our culture leading the way, it would be very dope. The chants would be better. The music would be better. The outfits would be better. But yeah, I like that. Or trick shots, however you want to call that. Like I said, we've got some amazing shooters just on this continent alone. I'm here to see who is the fastest. I would like a foot race. I think we were talking about this before we started recording, and Courtney was like, we should do the length of like the pitch so we can see who can accelerate like on distance. But we've got some speedsters, and I think it would get super competitive because I think people take a lot of pride in being fast. So yeah, I would be very interested and probably take bets on who would win that. Somebody would make a lot of money just putting the bookies, not that we endorse gambling here at SBFC, but if you would like, maybe the bookies could get in on that action. I also think there'd be some people that would surprise some people if you really went all out on that, but that would be me.
What about y'all? What y'all? Are there any things you would like to see?
I'm like curious about, I think it'd be fun to have like a, like one of like one part of the event, like specifically for goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, we've seen, for example, goalkeepers having like really good distribution and things like that, but it would honestly just be fun if there was like some sort of event with like keepers. I don't know what it would necessarily test them on, but I would very much enjoy seeing that.
I would like to see keepers shoot. So yeah. They rarely get to.
Very true.
There are some keepers who are good.
Yeah, like y'all keeper, we be out here balling.
I forgot your goal. You are a goalkeeper. You gotta stand up.
We can do that. We can cross you up. We can put you on the floor.
Yeah.
We gotta defend
the tribe.
We be out here in these streets.
Love for the goalkeepers.
You know, yeah, but what I want to see is, I mean, back to what we were talking about before, just disrespect. Like, I want to see 1v1. I want defender versus, you know, I want to see dribbler. I want style points, you know, for getting by the defender. You know, whether it's a nutmeg, whether you hit him with a rainbow, whatever you do, I want to see, like, some nasty stuff happening, dribbling 1v1. And I also think what would be really dope is seeing, like, figure out a way to do, like, free kick competition. With the actual goalkeeper as well. Like, set up, try to score from as far back as you can, set up a wall from wherever you want, whatever angle. Yeah. You get points for the curl as well, too. Like, yeah, I would love a free kick competition.
Oh, yeah, versus Liga Ibeki Femenil.
Yes. Yes, we'd lose.
Yeah. That's true.
I would straight up lose.
I feel like Dabinia would go down with a fight, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dabinia would be the last one standing.
Yeah.
Even though I would also like to see if you could bring back, like, old school MLS penalties.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, that is something I would just want to see. Funny. Like, that, like, quite simply, for the people who don't know, like, back in the day, MLS penalties were not, like, from the spot, kick it into the net. It was like you would start at the halfway line, you would start in the net, and you basically had that, like, and I think, what was it, time, like 10 seconds?
Something like that,
yeah.
And you had to score, like, you had to find a way to score, but the goal could come out. Like, it was just chaotic, but also
great.
Really fun. Yeah. Like, that is very something fun. That I want to see.
Yeah,
because I was also like, what if you just find a way to get past them or, like, quickly shoot from distance? Like, there are so many possibilities.
Yeah.
Yo, actually, so with the crossbar challenge, it started acting like that because now the goalkeeper wasn't there. At some point, I think the goalkeeper was in it, but then they moved out and they were trying to stop you and they kept moving back. But it was mad chaos. But yeah, that would be cool to do that.
I really kind of want the MLS penalty kick to come back now. That was fun. That was very, like, uniquely us. We should bring that back.
That's really chaos. On top of the chaos? I love Lord,
but
Jesus.
Chaos is fun.
Yeah, that's true. If it's done correctly, that's true.
Yeah.
Lastly, I would want to see some supporter group, SG, chants and step competitions, because we're going to be a bliggity black experience. I want step competitions. I want chants. I want new chants. I don't want no unflavored. I want nicely seasoned, wonderful, moisturized chants.
Yes.
I want marching bands. I want swag surfing because we're going to retire the wave. I want the whole stadium rocking. I want fire. I want, if you want to do bachata, merengue, all that, I want it all. Whatever flavors and vibes, I want all the instruments. I want it turnt and litty. That's what I want to see at the festivities, you know.
Legitimately just make kits in the colors of MPHC orgs and you have it made.
Oh yeah. So we're gonna have a fashion show too. That's right, we're gonna have a fashion show.
There we go.
We got a fashion show to see.
That is what I really want to see. It's basically Gotham versus LL Reign, which I think right now. Yeah. Did we decide who's leading?
Wait. You never know. Because at the point when this happens, Angel City is probably going to take it.
All right.
Fine.
Well, Andre, did we decide who's currently leading the Diaspora Community Shield Award? That was our thing for best dressed.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I think.
It's still Gotham.
Yeah, I think we still had Gotham. And it's really Mandy Freeman who's really.
I mean,
really
just
fire.
Yeah. Fire.
Truly,
she's
just
like the secret weapon. So
I think Kaya said Mandy Freeman style my life. Like, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
If anyone would like
to
pay me for a digital show where soccer players take
Queen
me shopping.
Z's up there, though.
Oh, Z's up there.
Yeah, Z's up there.
Yeah, Z is up there. She just doesn't have a lot of support.
But Mandy Master Kane to her outfit. That's pretty tough. That was exceptionally done.
Right.
No love for the Yeehaw contingent today.
Oh no, today they did that.
They got up.
Look.
They got up there.
They got up today, but not always. But today they got up. Long live the Yeehaw agenda.
The Yeehaw agenda. Oh my god.
It makes no sense why I like it so much because I'm literally born and raised in New Jersey.
Yeah, you're a Northern. You're a Yank.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the rest of my family born and raised in very Southern Virginia, but I do love the Yeehaw agenda.
Wait. I was gonna make, what do horses make? Yee, meh, or whatever.
What? I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
And it's perfect because we make it sounds and stuff, so it's perfect that we get into the next segment, which is your favorite karaoke situation, the hits and riffs. And so who's going first? Because it's me. Of course it's going to be me, Scott. So in hits and riffs, if you didn't know, we have the turn up, which is your highly engaged song that has a lot of rhythm that turns you up, gets you lit, gets you up there. Then we have the quiet storm, which is supposed to either be a calming, soothing song or something that you can make babies to. And then we do it for yesterday and today. And so four songs, four selections. It's four people. So we out here in the streets. So let me go first. So my yesterday turn up is Hanging on a String by Loose Ends. I can't even remember the song.
That's why we have a playlist.
Girl, wait, hold up. I'm about to mix it up with the... about to start singing some Milli Vanilli. But anyway, so then yesterday, Quiet Storm, is Sweet as Taboo by Sade. That's one of my favorite songs. The latter part... Well, if you follow me on IG, you would know why. But anyway, the latter part of that song...
Okay. I don't ask questions, by the way, y'all. So I just thought about
it. The latter part of that song where she talks about being in a relationship with whoever... is like it's Christmas during the day and then like New Year's Eve at night, like, and would you love me, you gonna keep on loving me, like all that love, like, yeah. Shout out to the homie and the band Forever My Greatness, favorite greatness band out here in these streets. Also what they do for Maxwell and a bunch of other artists, Sweetback, if you didn't know. But anyway, yeah, that's mine. What's good?
Oh, I'm next. Okay.
Yes.
So my yesterday turn up is Nothing by Noriega or Nori. I love Noriega. He's a character, that one. But Pharrell is the producer on this, so obviously it's gonna be
twins. You know, it's not what I actually thought when you said Nori, I was gonna be like,
I didn't wanna mess that up. My year still is terrible, so I shouldn't do New York things. And then my yesterday Quiet Storm felt very timely. One of my all-time favorite artists is Stevie Wonder. And it's Love's In Need of Love Today. It's been a rough week so far, both in this sport and in American society. And it's off of one of the best albums ever made, which is Songs in the Key of Life.
It's a great album.
Yes.
Look at you out here in these streets.
I like to educate the children, you know.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. Sorry. yesterday, turn up, Mobb Deep, Shook Ones, Part 2. Listen to that and just make sure nobody's around that you want to fight, because you will go fight them.
Mobb Deep's about fighting. That's really
good. Yeah, that song is incredible. It's still one of the best songs I think ever produced.
Yeah.
No even hyperbole. That beat is bonkers.
Yes.
Quiet Storm. I didn't realize that I kind of stole a little bit from Sky because I got Sade as well. No Ordinary Love. That's kind of one that everybody knows.
No Ordinary Love.
But okay. That song gets to me. It gets to me.
I mean, Helen Felisade Adu is a treasure.
Okay, putting the whole government name.
As she should. As I should.
Yeah, I was ready to be a mermaid. I was ready to jump into the sea too. That music video was fire.
So was I, Lord.
I feel like everyone feels that way about Sade. It's fine. It's fine. All right, Courtney.
Okay. It's not really a yesterday turn up. It's like slightly older than maybe 5 years. I don't know. But School and Life by Beyonce. If there's ever a song where I'm like having a bad day and I just like need to feel some joy, I don't know. I like, it's one of my faves. Just, you know, good, has some good like one-liners in it. You can create a little dance while you do it. Love School and Life by Beyonce. Then my yesterday Quiet Storm is Caught Up in the Rapture by Anita Baker. Whenever this song comes on, I try my hardest to hit that low register. I can't do it, but there's just something about it. I hear it and I just want to like almost like sway while the song is on. There's just something about it where I just like Like, there was this viral video from a few years ago of, like, this white woman, like, swaying in her garden while someone's playing basketball in the background. And, like, that's me when this song comes on in the best way possible.
I mean, Auntie Anita is spectacular. Yeah, her lower register is ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely insane. But, Sky, yeah. What is your today turn up?
My today turn up. So, this weekend, past weekend, Blackgown Records re-released The Greatness of the Timberland and Magoo. What's the name of that album? I see the picture. Whatever the name of that album is. Whatever. It don't matter. So, my turn up in Quiet Storm, whatever. It's going to work. We're going to make it work. So, the turn up for today, it's not really today, but it is today because it got re-released, is Love to Love You Remix by Timberland and Magoo and Playa and Shanta. Love to love ya. That used to be my jam.
Shanta.
Love to love ya. I can't even do the Shanta. Y'all fortunate is late and I forgot. And then the Today Quiet Storm is Up Jumps the Boogie, by Timberland and Magoo, Missy and Aaliyah. I would do the remix too, because that's fire too. The boogie. The beat. But Up Jumps the Boogie. Boogie Jumps Beat. That used to be my y'all fortunate that it's late, but I would give you a whole, I would sing it.
She really would.
Mm-hmm. We listen to that in the car.
Yeah. It's still a quality word. The production coming out of that crew, for like a decade was just untouchable.
A1.
Still holds up too. Okay. My today turn up, is actually fairly new. I'm proud of myself. It's going to be Rumors by Lizzo with Cardi B. I'm a Lizzo fan. I think she's incredibly talented.
I agree.
And so I'm always here for new music, and I think her teaming up with Cardi B is pretty brilliant. And it's a good song. Like I said, I think musically she's very talented, and she could do multiple things, include produce records. And then my today Quiet Storm is also recent-ish, last couple of years. It's going to be Focused by her. It's not the first time I've shared her song. I also think she's ridiculously talented, and will be around for a very long time. If you have not listened to her first album, Focus. do that.
On me.
It's good for your life. So that's what
Focus
I have.
Focus on me.
Oh,
okay, don't sound
gosh.
Like that.
All right.
I saw her live, y'all. She's phenomenal.
I'm sure. Yeah, I believe she sounds exactly the same.
I just wanted her to sing Go Away so I could be in my feelings. Okay.
Okay. Andre, what do you have?
Oh, I've been changing mine because I keep coming across different songs that I like. So hold on a second, because I know I've got one that I can't remember the name of at the moment. And I'm just stalling while I look it up in my iPhone.
Wait, so this Courtney can go.
Yeah. Help me out. Thank you.
So it's not really, it's like a turn up song when you want to get out angry emotions directed at someone.
That counts 100%.
That's same.
Turn up song. It's also the, I'm pretty sure it's the only Billie Eilish song I've ever actually listened to.
Okay.
But it's called Happier Than Ever, which is off a very recent album. It's one of those songs where, you know, if you're just feeling real bad about like something in particular and you just want to like shout like at a person, at an entity, put on this song. The first like 2 minutes are like kind of sad, and then she just like comes and starts like cursing this like person out. It's a delight. 10 out of 10 would recommend. It's the only song I've ever listened to by Billie Eilish, but it's very good. And then my Quiet Storm is On It by Jasmine Sullivan and Ari Lennox. This album was great, but there is something very particular about the song. If we don't want to talk about like baby making music, that's the pinnacle of it from a recent album.
Oh.
And I like both of those artists. I think they're talented. I'm a huge Jasmine Sullivan fan.
Wow, so. You get people.
Me too.
You trying to have people make babies. Make babies.
Just you wanna, beware of that album because it is.
You want to know something? One of the publishing companies on that song is called Shea Butter Baby Publishing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is that Ari Lennox's? Because she has a
Shea Butter Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
some Shea Butter Babies with the Shea Butter playlist. Yes. Coming soon.
Oh no, please.
Yes, no. Absolutely. You gotta, keep a record of these. Like
the, I thought
like
you meant babies themselves. I was like, who's doing that?
No.
I know. I was like, no,
okay. We can make a playlist. We got playlists. It's soon coming. Website's coming.
Okay. Oh yes. Yes, it really is. I promise.
It's for real. Okay, Andre. We stalled enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm good now. I'm good. I don't really listen to too much new, so I'm going with Major Lazer. Today's turn up, Hold the Line. It's one of my favorite songs. That song's kind of dope. I like listening to Major Lazer. It kind of got a good energy. Yes. My Today Quiet Storm is MGMT Electric Feel.
Girl.
Yes. I love that song.
I love
that song so much. It's almost like I gotta close my eyes when I listen to that song, and I don't know why I have that response, but I do, and it does it. I love that song.
What's their other song that starts? Is it called Kids? Where like the first thing, you know, what I'm talking about, the intro to it is like it's music, and then you literally hear people like screaming. Do you know what I'm talking about? But it's like distorted and like sounds like techno-y.
Yeah, I think it's Kids.
Yeah,
that's
what. I only listen to Electric Feel, so I can't.
Oh, he was like, I know MGMT songs.
Into the discography, I don't know.
Yeah.
My older brother really liked them I feel like when they came out, it was like very, that's when people were like starting to get into like techno-y music. Mm. And so people would play that, and I think it was Kids. But like, you hear that noise and you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. It's like one of
those.
Well then, see, we out here with the hits and riffs. So I guess it's that time to shout out people. Who are we shouting out?
Well, I mean, obviously our guest today, Diaspora United. Go to their page, check out part one of the crossover episode, and just keep supporting, keep giving them 5-star ratings. They're out here doing good work, the Lord's work for Black women in soccer. And so we're trying to support each other always. Shout out to our fam, Can I Kick It? Yogi, what up?
What up?
And then 2 Cents Podcast, again, just for always having our backs. We really appreciate all y'all do. Protagonist Soccer and the Alliance Podcast Network for the Culture United, who has come back from their summer break. So they have new episodes up, so go check those out. And can't say it enough, shout out to Kaya.
Yes.
I know the pod is on hold, but like, you out here changing the game in a whole different way. So
yeah, you're out here in the world, future lawyer.
Yeah, future lawyer, and just stepping up, being brave, speaking out. The dominoes are falling, and you have a lot to do with that. So that is a good thing.
Thank you
immensely. So yeah, I think that's what we've got for shout outs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, next week we're gonna do some we're gonna talk about the NWSL matches. Yeah. I guess we'll dibble dabble over the WSL matches. We should talk about those rankings. Like, there's a whole hybrid list of rankings.
Oh yeah, we need to put that on the shelf for a little bit. We should probably get back into that. We gotta give our goalkeepers love at some point.
That too. We gotta argue about that. We still have to argue about the hybrids.
And it's a real argument.
It's gonna be. We'll do better. Be better. I'm about that. And then we got the hits and riffs and rants and raves. And with all that said, before we go, appreciate y'all for coming on and doing this crossover, getting crossed up. But what do we need to do? We gotta stay hydrated.
For sure. Stay melanated.
Make sure the Black women in your life are celebrating.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And y'all have a great, blessed week. Don't get the edible arrangements. Don't worry about those McFlurries. the FTC, not for the culture, but the Federal Trade Commission is like investigating McFlurries and like.
No, why ice cream machines are always broken at McDonald's.
So I'm the investigator. You holding down the edible arrangements out here in the streets. So we out here. Anyway, y'all have a good week. Stay blessed, stay fresh, and we'll holler at y'all next week.
Peace.